Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word that we consider tonight is from the Gospel of Mark, and we'll focus especially on the first part of the reading where it records Jesus walking on the sea. Like many times, the disciples were terrified. But what were they afraid of? Were they afraid of the storm? If they were, we could make a nice, easy lesson out of this reading. We could say something like, the storm represents all the troubles in our lives, and Jesus is there to still all the waves. But no, they were not afraid of the storm, not this time. A storm? Remember, these guys were fishermen. This was their living. They've dealt with plenty of storms before, but that night, they saw something they had never seen before, something that truly terrified them. In the fourth watch of the night, around 3 a.m., they saw a figure walking toward them on the water. And in their terror, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" They were afraid of Jesus. Mark gives us a little bit more insight into what was going on in those disciples' minds. He says the reason the disciples were afraid, the reason they didn't recognize Jesus, the reason why they were astounded when he got into the boat was because their hearts were hardened. They had just witnessed over 5,000 people being fed by just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they didn't get it. Not yet. The story is recorded by Mark, Matthew, and John. So 3 of the 4 Gospels tell us about Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, but only Mark gives us one particular strange detail. He says that Jesus meant to pass by them. See, Mark gives us the gritty Jesus. He's mysterious, he can be scary at times, and he does things that make us uncomfortable. He meant to pass by them. What are we supposed to do with that? Why would Jesus want to do that? Was Jesus trying to sneak by so that they wouldn't notice that he was walking on the water? Or maybe the opposite, did he want to show off that he could let them go and get a head start in their boat and he'd still get to the other side first on foot? I don't think so. Interestingly, the word that Mark uses there for pass by is the same word that's used in a couple of key passages in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The first is found in Exodus chapter 33. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass by and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." Check that out. Same thing happened there, right? He passes by, not to sneak past or show off, but to reveal his glory to Moses. And then after he passed by, he identified himself by his name, the Lord. And what did Jesus do as he passed by the disciples and they cried out in terror? He identified himself with almost the same formula. You know, God spoke to Moses and said, "I am who I am." And Jesus said to the disciples, "It is I. I am. Don't be afraid." And then there's another passage. This one's in 1 Kings. The prophet Elijah found himself all alone, or so he thought, dejected, and he feels like he's abandoned by God when God speaks to him and instructs him, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And this is that familiar passage where there's a wind and then there's an earthquake and there's a fire, but the Lord isn't in any of those things. Do you remember where the Lord actually turns out to be? There's a still small voice, and that's the voice of God. Here again, the Lord passes by to reveal his glory, and then he speaks to identify himself. Jesus intended to pass by them on the water, meaning he intended to reveal his glory to his disciples, which is exactly what he did by allowing himself to be seen walking on the water. And there's another great passage, just one verse that comes from the book of Job. Job says, "God alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea." By walking on the water, Jesus shows that he is the God of the Old Testament. He comes to them and he does not ignore their terrified cry, but instead he takes away their fear by identifying himself. "Hey guys, buck up. Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid." And no doubt they were relieved to know that it was Jesus, but they still didn't get it. They didn't fully understand who he was, not yet. Now, what about you and me? We like to think we get it. We know who Jesus is. We've stated it very neatly and clearly in our creeds. He is very God of very God, who for our sakes became incarnate and was made man. We know. And yet, how often we forget. How often we live our lives in fear because we fail to realize that the one who is in control of this weird and twisted world is Christ, who treads on the waves. How often God surprises and terrifies us because he does things that we don't expect. He allows evils that maybe we think he shouldn't. How often we think God is absent or silent because our prayers are not answered the way we think they ought to be. We choose to live in fear. We heap anxiety on our own heads because we don't get it. Straining our eyes to see Jesus in the dark, all we seem to be able to make out is the shape of a midnight phantom. If only he would pass by us, show us his glory, and tell us, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." But of course, that's exactly what Jesus has already done for us. He's spoken to us through his word. He has identified himself to us, and he has defeated our greatest fears. Another remarkable thing about the Gospel of Mark is that nobody gets it the whole way through. No human being explicitly identifies Jesus as the Son of God. That is, until the very end. One man gets it. There was darkness from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, so that midday looked like the fourth watch of the night. Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And who's there? A Roman centurion, an unbelieving Gentile observer who witnessed his death, then spoke, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The cross of Christ is the ultimate revelation of Jesus' identity. The signs that accompanied his death, the darkness, the tearing of the temple curtain, the resurrection on the third day, these all pointed to his divine nature. And then his bleeding, his suffering, and his actual dying point to his human nature. So all wrapped up in this three-day event is the ultimate "take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." By his death, he defeated death and the devil, and he paid the price for all our sins. And with that taken care of, what do we really need to be afraid of? Life is full of scary things, like getting married and other stuff. So I'm not denying there are some scary things, but in comparison to the victory that Christ has already won for us, FDR was right when he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.